You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla Darroch. Today, we're going to be talking about Pick, Click, Give, and we have a few nonprofits in the room with us today. We have Monty Haver with The Shelter, we have KWRCC, and we have the Kodiak Public Library Association. They'll introduce themselves in a little bit, but also we have a representative from Pick, Click, Give. Sophia is on the phone. Can you hear us, Sophia?
I can. Hello.
Okay. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Well, my name is Sophia Fouquet, and I'm the Pick, Click, Give Program Manager with the Alaska Community Foundation based in Anchorage.
All right. So for those who may not be familiar with Pick, Click, Give, could you explain its role?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, when it all boils down to it, Pick, Click, Give is a program that connects the permanent fund dividend to hundreds of nonprofits across Alaska. Essentially, it was created in 2009 as a partnership between the Rasmussen Foundation, United Way of Anchorage, the PFD Division, and the 4-Acre Group. And what we really wanted to do is just say, hey, we are going to make it easy for every single Alaskan who applies to the permanent fund dividend to become a philanthropist. And so we are actually entering our 10th year, and we're really excited to see the amazing impact that the program has had on philanthropy over the last 9 years.
So Alaska is someplace that seems to be especially bonded and kind of joined over the internet since a lot of our locations are pretty rural. I know that at least the Kodiak villages use Facebook a lot to just communicate with other residents. Could you talk a little bit about using the internet for donating?
Yeah, I think you've really touched on an important point, which is in Alaska, you know, we're so spread out, it can be really difficult to try and, you know, spread that message or to connect a large swath of people with a single message. So we, as far as marketing efforts have gone, we really make sure that we, you know, are using social media, Facebook, because we want to reach out to all those individuals. As far as the actual functionality of Pick, Click, Give goes, you know, there are still quite a few people that do use paper applications, but sometimes it can be so difficult, you know, to send that, you know, put a check in the mail or to reach out to individual nonprofits separately. And so we said, hey, most people apply for their permanent fund dividend. Most people who do that do it online. Let's just make it so easy. So with a click of a couple of buttons, you can pretty much have all of your, you know, 2018, 2017 giving done in one easy place. You get your tax forms all sent to you from the state of Alaska, so you don't have to, you know, keep track of those separate emails or those physical pieces of paper. So it's just a really easy way to say, you know, we know that we're spread out and we know that it can be difficult to connect across the state. So we're going to make it as easy as possible for people to enrich their own communities.
As far as you know, how does Alaska in that way compare to other states?
As far as giving goes?
Yeah. Are there comparable systems in other states? Do you know?
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit tricky. As far as the overall statistics go, Alaskans are very, very generous when it comes to donating their time, although we sometimes we fall a little bit behind the curve when it comes to the amount of money that's donated, and that's just looking at statistical trends across the nation using tax forms and 990s. When it comes to comparable programs, there's something called a giving day, which is pretty popular in the lower 48, and that can happen by state, by region, sometimes even universities do them. And that's a little bit tougher to compare to because you're doing a single day of giving versus Pick, Click, Give program, which runs from January 1st to March 31st. But what a lot of people don't know is you can actually make a pledge adjustment all the way through August 31st. So we're looking at a campaign that runs the majority of the year rather than one day. Although I will say that the percentage of Alaskans who give is currently at about 5% of people who apply for their permanent fund dividends. So there's a lot of room for growth, but that is actually pretty comparable to the populations that are giving to giving days in other states in the lower 48.
So what is the effect of a shrinking PFD on how much people donate or how frequently?
You know, it's difficult to say. So like I mentioned before, Pick, Click, Give came into existence in 2009. And then in 2015, it was taken over by the Alaska Community Foundation. But that year marked several other factors as well. That's when a statute was enacted to make it easier for more nonprofits to apply for the program. So we saw about 100 increase a number of nonprofits who participated in the program. You know, we saw the next year the permanent fund dividend was capped at $1,000, but we also started to see a decrease in the economy as well as the introduction of the 7% fee. So there are so many issues or, you know, factors that since 2015, which was our highlight year, that have really impacted Alaskans. Their ability to give, it's really difficult to pinpoint any one factor to say, you know, how is giving changed. But what we do know is that the number of donations has gone down since 2015 due to, you know, some of those aforementioned factors and just the fact that the economy is not great right now. But that being said, because of the nature of Pick, Click, Give, it's really a program that's based not just on increasing dollars, but increasing the ability for Alaskans who might not have connected with a nonprofit in the past to become a new donor, to realize that there are easy, very convenient ways to become a philanthropist. So what we're really looking at in the future, in 2018 and onward, is to see not necessarily just the dollars that are raised, but how many new Alaskans are able to make a donation who maybe didn't find themselves able to do that in the past.
And something else I've noticed, just as far as donations in general go, every time I've interviewed a nonprofit is a lot of the donations come in last minute. People just, they really push it up to the deadline. Do you notice that with Pick, Click, Give, that can you track when people are donating?
Yeah, you know, it's actually spread pretty evenly throughout January through March. So by mid-February, about half the people who are going to use the program have used it, and about half the money has come in as well. So we know that, you know, the large donors aren't necessarily giving in the beginning of the year, nor are they necessarily waiting, you know, until March 31st. Something that's interesting is that, you know, after the January through March 31st push, we certainly see a stagnation in the number of donations that come through. A few people here and there certainly will go in and add or increase their pledge. But something that is interesting is we do see that number actually go up. So while we really push January through March because that's when people are applying for their PFD and that's when it's top of mind, we do actually see Alaskans who, after the fact, are choosing to go in and make donations all the way through the August 31st deadline.
And do you trace what locations the donations are coming from? Do you know whether, for instance, many people in rural villages in Western Alaska are donating as opposed to those in Anchorage, for example?
So that is something that we have started to do quite a bit of research on. We are actually working with the University of Alaska trying to figure out a system so that we can easily pinpoint those numbers. At this point, it's not something that we are aware of. Just doing some pretty standard survey research, so not necessarily through Pick, Click, Give itself, but just looking at the philanthropic trends across the state of Alaska, we do know that quite a bit of money tends to come from the South Central area. You know, generally females are a little bit more inclined to give, especially if they make over a certain dollar figure, which again makes sense. If you have money, you're in a better position to give it to charity. One of the things that we are able to track is, you know, in each community we can say, well, there are this number of nonprofits and they've received this much money. So, for example, in Kodiak, a little over $30,000 was raised by 544 individual donors, and that was going to nonprofits who are based in Kodiak. That's not counting nonprofits who are based elsewhere but do have services in Kodiak, though we are able to pull those numbers as well. So we have some idea of how the various regions are doing with the program, but as far as, you know, if you're in Kodiak and you are giving to a nonprofit in Bethel, we aren't yet able to trace that information.
Okay, I see. I'd love for you to stay on the line, but I also would like to switch over to some of the nonprofits in the room. If you guys could go ahead and introduce yourselves. Monty, why don't you start?
My name is Monty Hover. I'm the director of the Brother Francis Shelter here in Kodiak.
All right, and is that, how many shelters are there in Kodiak?
Well, we have the Brother Francis Shelter, and we're the only actual homeless shelter. We work very closely with the KWRCC, who we have represented here today, and that's pretty much it for Kodiak.
All right. And Laurie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Laurie Madsen. I'm the chairman of the Kodiak Public Library Association. Happy to be here today.
All right. And so I don't know how many people know what that organization does.
The Kodiak Public Library Association is an advisory association to the Kodiak Public Library. Our purpose, our mission, is to support the mission and the programs at the public library. And we provide support in a variety of ways, like to their programming budget, or we recently purchased a Ancestry Online, Ancestry.com, an online program that's going to start community-wide pretty soon. They have a program about, we paid for the subscription, they have a program about the ancestry and finding your ancestors. We've brought authors to town. We also are involved with the Altered Books, which is coming up here in February, the Altered Books Show. And so we're a volunteer organization, and we do a little fundraising to help supplement our budget to provide this support to the public library.
Sweet. And were you guys around in the library's old building, too?
The Kodiak Public Library Association has been a nonprofit organization since 1953. Mm-hmm. And many of our elders who are still here were involved in it back in the day when A. Holmes Johnson Memorial Library was there. I believe actually before it was there, when it was somewhere else. And Marion, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I can't remember if it was the Quonset Hut days or another day, but it was not even where the library that just got torn down. It was in another structure way back when. And so it's been an organization that's been active at some times and not so active in others, depending on the need. We were very involved and integral to the building of the new library through our capital campaign and many volunteer hours and support from this marvelous community to get that, to work with the city to get that library built.
All right. And Beth, why don't you introduce yourself?
And my name is Beth Davis. I'm the outreach coordinator for the Kodiak Women's Resource Center. And we have just finished working a really large Christmas program. I think Monty's probably glad there's a few more days before the next Christmas comes along. But, as KWRCC, we were able to serve over 40 families, 40, and then over 100 kids with gifts this Christmas, and more than that, too. Kids came in and brought gifts for other kids, those ones we couldn't keep track of, and we were happy to do that too. But yes, I'm glad to be here too. And is that lady still on the line?
Hey, is Sophia, are you still there?
Sophia.
I am still here, yes.
Sophia, hi, I have a question for you. There was a quote that you made, I only got half of it. You said for Kodiak, for Pick, Click, and Give, there were 544 people, and how much was that total amount that came from here?
Yeah, so this was specifically raised in 2017 by Kodiak-based nonprofits. So this is not counting nonprofits that are based outside of Kodiak but still do work in Kodiak. So 544 individual donors donated about, it was $30,225 across the various Kodiak-based nonprofits in 2017.
That's great. I was wondering what that amount was, because I think last year I was out there waving the Pick, Click, Give placards, and I was freezing, and I think I was wearing 7 layers of clothes, and I was only outside standing there for 5 minutes, and my fingers were bone white. It was freezing cold, but I'm glad I got that figure, because I really want to know how much I raced. No, just kidding. How much I raced standing there waving the placard. No, but that's good. But that just goes to show the extent of the generosity here of our Kodiak community. So thank you, everybody who did that last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be curious. Beth, when did you join KWRCC?
Actually, I have lived in Kodiak for over 30 years, but and I have done various things. I think we probably all have in this room done various things. Most Alaskans have wear several caps in their lifetime. But for myself, I joined the staff coming up to 3 years in February.
All right. And in your experience, has there been a shift in how KWRCC has gotten its funding?
Not in how it's gotten its funding, but how much of that funding has dropped from all the different areas it has come from.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit more about that? Or
I would say that you would have to ask the director specifically for those questions, but from what I have heard is that it has dropped, particularly from the borough and the city, and I may be wrong here, so forgive me if I'm totally off a bit on this, but I think funding for a lot of nonprofits has dropped over the last few years, and I can safely say that, at least.
And for, as far as Pick, Click, Give goes, do you know if that funding goes to a particular thing or kind of goes into the general fund?
Sure. For us, we're, as like Monty, we're a direct service agency, and the money that comes from Pick, Click, and Give goes directly to the direct services, and that could be anything like from operating expenses, like utilities, and client needs, which would be food and clothes and medicine and those kind of things that we don't are not able to get immediately from the community. And the community is great in providing for a lot of those needs, but the cash coming in for paying for things that we need right away and we need on a regular basis, it's harder to count that in. But, yeah.
And, Monty, you were saying before we went on air that the shelter is new to Pick, Click, Give.
Yes, we were one of the organizations that was mentioned that came on in, with the new regulations. I think it was last year was our first year of receiving funds. We received about $2,800, which was a welcome surprise for myself. So we're looking forward to building on that. And as Beth was mentioning, the entire structure of funding for the nonprofits is changing somewhat. You'd have to have your head in the ground and not know that Alaska is going through a tough time from a governmental perspective financially. Mm-hmm. And so regardless of what how much the different governments want to give, they only have the ability to give a certain level. Mm-hmm. And if they had the ability, I have no doubt that we would be seeing increases, not deductions. But the reality is that there's less dollars to go around with the price of oil being what it is, and that still fuels our economy. So the long and the short of it is we and most nonprofits are receiving less funding from governmental sources than we have in the past. And unfortunately, expenses go up with the cost of living, and so more and more funding is going to be needed to generated from the private sector. And Pick, Click, Give is what directors love the most is new money. Mm-hmm. Because you know, you can only build so much over time, but new money is a godsend to an organization to help pay for the increases in costs as we go forward.
You're right, and I think, I know we've had less funding to the nonprofits from local government because local government, much like the state, is struggling. Some communities, I heard when I first moved here, the government doesn't give to the nonprofits. It comes from the community itself and from people.
Right. Yeah, we are blessed with, still getting a great deal of funding from the federal government, the state, and then the local borough and city. And we actually had an increase from the city, which we're very thankful for. We did have a substantial decrease from the borough from like 3 years ago, but that was anticipated, and they gave us a lot of time to see it coming. So, but yes, more and more is going to be needed to be generated from the private sector, as it is in many of the communities down below. We've been blessed in Alaska with having great, tremendous resources that have financially fed the state. But those resources are struggling now, and it's anybody's guess. People smarter than me are working on how to replace those dollars, or if they'll ever come back. And, you know, there's varying opinions on that. But Kodiak's a fishing community. And, of course, the cod is way down, 80% off. It's basically crashed, the cod stocks have. And when they'll come back, smarter people than me are trying to figure out. And there's most likely going to be a reduction in the halibut quota also. And so that will affect our families. And that's... and individuals. And so that's what we're struggling with right now is how is that going to affect the nonprofits, and from both directions, from our funding perspective and also from services perspective. We certainly know that if our bosses came in and said, by the way, you're only going to be able to come into work Mondays from now on and get paid for Mondays, the rest of the week, we're not going to be able to pay you. That would be pretty detrimental to, and that's what a lot of the fishing families are going to be going through. So certainly many of them fish multiple resources, but however you look at it, it's going to be a struggle for the fishing families and especially the cannery workers who are, making $10 an hour. Mm-hmm.
So besides Pick, Click, Give, do you guys have a way to donate online?
Basically, no, we don't do online donations. We send out a flyer, newsletters twice a year, and we do an appeal once or twice a year. And we enjoy a tremendous amount of support from not only from Kodiak, but an interesting thing about Kodiak is that I don't think people ever leave Kodiak, even if they leave it physically. We still get, when I, look at the letters that come in with donations, we get donations from all over the country. People that haven't lived here in 20 years are still donating to the shelter. And I find it absolutely amazing the impact that even a few years in Kodiak has on people, and how, they may leave it physically, but I don't believe that they ever leave Kodiak, totally.
What's
mentally.
That saying, Monty? It says that you can have a person leave Kodiak, but you can never get that Kodiak out of the person. I was hearing that too, but I listening to the conversations, there are some things I learned about the Pick, Click, Give that I didn't know until I came here today, was just knowing that you could adjust that amount that you put in before, where your dividends were due, but that you could actually go in and adjust that amount later on as far as August, which I think is really cool, because after all the taxes are taken care of, then people can reevaluate what they do have and then go in accordingly and adjust it and give more if they find out that they can after that fact. So I didn't know that, and that's really cool. And in case you're going to ask me that question, we don't have a button online that says, click here and donate, and we're in the process of doing that because we've had so many people call us and ask us if they can donate online, and it's like we've had to turn checks, and it's like, we need to do this. We really, really need to do it, because there are a lot more people and we're actually turning dollars away because they hang up the phone and then they go and turn their heads and something else happens and the opportunity is gone. So
yeah, it's a challenge with nonprofits, with shelters especially, a homeless shelter, which is somewhat different than the KWRCC. And that is that from an online perspective, you do not want to draw homeless people into Kodiak. This is a horrible place to winter over. I tell people, every fall, you do not want to get stuck in Kodiak during the winter. And so we always are balancing between having an online presence and have people be able to look us up and say, oh, geez, there's a shelter in Kodiak. I think I'm going to go there and because things are lousy here. Well, guess what? Things can get lousy in Kodiak in a hurry. Just think of yesterday. Mm-hmm. What a horrible day to have been homeless in Kodiak. And so we are looking at ways, and I have a daughter who is a graphic designer, and I'm talking with her as to perhaps ways that we can generate giving without generating a false narrative that Kodiak is a wonderful place to come and find work and all that, because the deadliest catch and all of that stuff has generated a false narrative that you can come to Kodiak and make a gazillion dollars in 6 weeks in the fishing industry, and for very, very few people is that true anymore. It's a totally different industry than it was even 10 years ago. And so that's a narrative that we continue to battle to try to not draw people into the false narrative that you're going to come to Kodiak and get rich quick.
Mm-hmm. All right. It does seem like it is almost 1:00.
Already?
Yes.
Can we go a bit longer? It's really cold out there. Let me go to my car.
And I think we're moving on soon, but thank you guys so much for joining us today.
We appreciate having the opportunity to talk about, to, you know, let people know what this is available out there. Really do appreciate that. And with that money, please know that KWRCC, we know what to do with that money, as I'm sure we all do here. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Kayla.
Thank you all.
Thank you, guys.
I learned a lot.
Thank you, Sophia.